how much of that is Joe Madden's fault? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
We need him for the save tonight. There was limited, he had limited pitches. It was one inning only. In these circumstances, you don't get him up and then don't get him in. So if we had caught the lead, he would have pitched.
Spoiler alert, they didn't catch the lead. What's up, everybody? Monday, October 16th. Welcome in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I'm Todd Brommelkamp. He's Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann, the third wheel on the other side of the glass, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Welcome aboard. Feel free to use the Hertine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. So much to get to today. Mondays are always that way here in eastern Iowa. Plenty of NFL talk. Let me run down who we've got on the program with us today. The phone lines are already lighting up. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Iowa State, a big 45-0 winner over Kansas at Jack Trice Stadium over the weekend. They head to Lubbock and Texas Tech this coming weekend. Chad Lystico is with us tonight at 5 o'clock from the Des Moines Register. It's media day for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa men's basketball team in Iowa City, returning 77% of their scoring from a year ago and four starters. We'll find out what the main storylines from Carver Hawkeye Arena were today. Lots of NFL to discuss as well. The Packers without Aaron Rodgers for a minimum of 8 weeks. The Bears with a surprise upset over Baltimore. And, oh, by the way, C.J. Beathard has been named the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. But the Cubs, that's where we'll start today. It makes this a whole lot easier when the Hawkeyes have a bye week and there's no Iowa football to come right out of the gate with. Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago will join us at 6 o'clock tonight, 6:05 to be exact, as he'll recap the first two games of the National League Championship Series so far, but the Cubs falling in an 0-2 hole, and Joe Madden taking some heat, Alex, for the decision last night to not bring Wade Davis into the ball game. Instead, it's John Lackey and Justin Turner. Hits a three-run walk-off home run 29 years to the day of Kirk Gibson's walk-off home run against Dennis Eckersley in Game 1 of the 1988 World Series, the game that made me fall in love with baseball. I liked it up until that point, but I remember watching that game as an 8-year-old kid about 2.5-3 feet from the TV. And the storyline and just the way that Vin Scully painted that picture and the game unfolding and Gibson hitting the one, but I digress. What's up, Alex? Joe Madden, should he have brought in Wade Davis last night?
Well,
when should he have brought? I guess that's the better question.
I had a flight home last night, and I arrived home just as I turned on my TV. Chris Taylor is at the plate in the 9th inning.
Walk.
And my first reaction is, what the hell is John Lackey doing in this baseball game? Why, in the 9th inning, in a tie game, with a runner on second base, why is he in the game? And I guess it just goes to underscore right now. I mean, you think about last year for the Cubs, their bullpen was a strength. And it is such an important part of postseason action, especially with the way that some of the starting pitchers for the Cubs are a little bit gassed. They've been used in many different roles over this first week of the postseason. Right now, Joe Madden has one reliever that he trusts, and he had pitched him 4 of the last 5 days. He is in a tough position, and I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe Wade Davis really was not ready to pitch last night, but it just underscores the fact you have to have more than one reliever to be successful in the postseason, especially when you get to this point. You look at the other three teams in the postseason right now, all of them have well above average bullpens, except for one, and the bats have gone silent, and that's really why the Cubs are down in an 0-2 hole right now.
I like the fact that you said if Wade Davis was available. There are some people who think that Joe Madden is giving cover to his closer here, saying that, he was being saved for the ninth inning. They had to use him for the ninth inning if they got to the point when they got the lead. That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. This is really nothing new. It's sort of a discussion point in baseball over the last couple years, really spurned on by Terry Francona and the Cleveland Indians last season. And you're seeing Dave Roberts and the Dodgers employ this now, not so much necessarily with Kenley Jansen, but they're using their best relievers at key situations. When should a manager use his best relief pitcher? At a critical juncture in the game, or save him until the ninth or last inning? Emil's Hideaway sponsors the poll question. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. If you're looking for a silver lining from Game 2, if you're a Cubs fan, it would be, in my opinion, the 1 1/3 innings that the Cubs got from Carl Edwards Jr., who he had 3 strikeouts, was relatively clean across the board in the rest of the box score. He's struggled with consistency, and I think you saw Joe Maddon go to the well quite a bit in the National League Divisional Series, and he's trying to keep one of his younger pitchers up in the confidence department, and that was good last night. What wasn't good was the fact that John Lester threw 103 pitches in 4 2/3 innings. And that's what the Cubs absolutely could not afford last night, is to tax the bullpen once again, although they're from Chicago and everything else is taxed there, so why shouldn't the bullpen be? But you look at the box score, to me, I see Chris Bryant with a 125 batting average and 3 zeros next to Anthony Rizzo's name through 2 games. That's just unacceptable at this point. Maddon, I think, bears some of the brunt for this because his pitching decisions have been questionable to a large extent. But the bats have gone silent. We saw this from the Cubs last year. And not so coincidentally enough, it was in that series against the Dodgers where there was no offense for 2 games, and it looked like things were going to go south, and then there was an explosion and they were able to turn around and win that series. I don't think the same thing's going to happen this year. I think the Dodgers, and I said going in, Dodgers in 5, but what an impressive group. They deserve a ton of credit here.
They do.
And Dave Roberts has a tremendous lineup. And if you were listening to the program on Friday, we talked with Bill Plunkett from the Orange County Register, who shared a little of Justin Turner's origin story for people who may not be aware of it. But Justin Turner winds up with the Dodgers because he runs into Tim Wallach at a college alumni baseball game, Cal Poly, I think. I can't remember what school Turner went to, but basically he's going to be a minor league camp invite somewhere, and the Dodgers wind up bringing him in. He was an extra infielder. They had a guy named Alex Guerrero, who was a Cuban prospect that they gave a ton of money to, and they thought he was going to be the guy to win the job, and they were bringing in 2 or 3 other guys to at least be insurance policies. One of them's Justin Turner, and lo and behold, Turner blossoms into a legitimate all-star, and hardly anybody's ever talking about this guy. And I think this is really a great coming out party for him. Unfortunately, it's at the hands of the Cubs. But I looked the top 3 in the order last night for Chicago: John Jay, Chris Bryant, and Anthony Rizzo. And look, it's 2017. Batting average isn't everything, but it's the common denominator where most baseball fans, whether you're a novice or whether you're hardcore, that's sort of the baseline. You understand what batting average at least means. John Jay, 143. Bryant, 125. And Rizzo, nada. You look at the Dodgers: Chris Taylor, 286. Justin Turner, 375. And Cody Bellinger, 429.
I think that's a really important point, because if you would have asked me before the playoffs which lineup is more likely to slump, I would have said the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think Turner is a great player, but there were still questions about how he would succeed in the postseason. Bellinger, a rookie, really struggled down the stretch a little bit to find himself, but he has come alive in the playoffs. So the Dodgers, you hear it every postseason in hockey especially, your top guys have to be your top guys in order to lead you through the postseason. The Los Angeles Dodgers, not only their position players, but their pitchers, their top guys are playing like their top guys, and that's why they're up 2-0, and that's why they ran through the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Reminds me of the top men quote. Before we get to the text line, really quick, I do want to mention we've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill that we're going to give one of our lucky listeners today. They've got three locations, one in Marion, the one in downtown Cedar Rapids, and the newest location in the Fountains off Edgewood. Be listening for your chance to win before 7 o'clock tonight. Hertin and Stocker text line. We'll start with Ryan in Walford. I'm still speechless about Lackey being in that game. You have Justin Turner, who's hitting like 700 with runners in scoring position in his playoff career against a guy who gave up 40 bombs during the year. It was 36 before last night. That was a stupid mistake, but the offense, or lack thereof, is the real story. To not be able to touch Rich Hill is mind-boggling with that lineup. I'm still optimistic about this series. I just get the feeling something funny is going to happen, and we will have the pleasure of sweating out another Game 7. It should be not only is John Lackey in his late 30s and surrendered 37 now home runs this season.
37 home runs.
But he had never in his career up until last night pitched on back-to-back days. There's just a whole lot wrong about that last night, and I don't necessarily like questioning Joe Maddon. I think in 2015 he was the guy that they needed to bring in. There was so much bad mojo hanging over the Cubs organization and that clubhouse, and he's a great motivator. He's a great leader. He's a great person to have out front in your franchise. There aren't a whole lot of teams in baseball where people identify the manager as the face of the team, and they sort of brought Maddon in to play that role along with some of the superstars. But he's changed the culture, and now that the culture has changed, it's about winning games and winning as many of them as you can, and people are starting to scrutinize some of the decisions that he's making, and all of a sudden, yeah, he's maybe not the best in-game manager in the world, but he's got a World Series ring. So what do you do? 319-366-1600. Let's go to the phone lines here and bring Andy in from North Liberty. Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan, and I'm just calling to give my two cents on it. I just look at it this way. Like, we keep starting, like, our defensive lineup, and I can look at it two ways. The Nationals series, the guy that came up with some big hits from the left-hand side of the bat is Zobrist, and he's the one that came up with big hits last year when we were slacking two. So we keep bringing him up, and then they just keep switching to the other side of the plate, where I'd like to see him maybe get a start in the outfield so he can get some left-handed at-bats in there too, because I think once Zobrist gets going, then I really see the offense get going, but we just keep going one bat at a time and swinging at the high balls, and he's our contact hitter. I mean, I like John Jay, but I know it's the leadoff thing, but it's one of those where you just like to see Zobrist, the World Series MVP, get back into his groove.
Thanks for starting us off tonight, Andy. I think there's a lot of other people out there that would like to see Zobrist get a little bit more of a chance as well, because he's one of the guys who is swinging the bats well. There were some atrocious swings last night by Albert Almora and Addison Russell late in the game that were just inexcusable at that point. The bottom line is this is an avalanche of crap that's going wrong for the Cubs. I don't think you can necessarily put your finger on one thing. And I'll say this with a caveat. The Dodgers are one of the best teams in baseball, okay? And I think that's getting lost a little bit in the discussion here, and I don't want to make it sound like the Cubs are some sort of super team, the League of Justice Warriors here or whatever. They're a very good team. I think the Dodgers are a better team, and the better team is playing better baseball right now, and that's really hard to overcome. We'll see what happens tomorrow in Game 3. Speaking of Game 3, the ALCS is tonight. It's Charlie Morton going for the Astros against the Yankees, CC Sabathia, 7 o'clock on FS1 if you're inclined to tune into that. The Astros are up 2-0, and I've got no problem with Houston being America's team, by the way. Let's go east to Lisbon and bring Jer on board. He's a Dodgers fan. Jer, what's up?
Hey, great game last night, huh? something that they talked about in the telecast last night, and I think actually the first game also, Dodger relief pitching put up double-digit outs without a base runner. I mean, you know, you get good starting pitching and you can go, you know, 3-4 innings with without, you know, putting a base runner on. That's pretty tough for the other team to win games.
Absolutely. I enjoy the rest of the series, by the way, because I think your Dodgers are going to wind up winning it. And I will say this, L.A. has the best bullpen of the four teams in the running at this point to get to the World Series. It's better than the Cubs, and I think it's better than the Astros and the Yankees.
That's saying something.
The Yankees have a decent bullpen in the last two innings with Betances and Chapman, but what you look at the Brandon Morrow, who was he was very good for stretches as a starter in his career, and then he had some arm trouble, and his stuff just plays up out of the bullpen. He comes in the sixth inning last night, and two clean innings, two strikeouts, and then you turn it over to Josh Fields. He gets one guy. Tony Watson, the former Pirates closer, an Iowa native, two-thirds clean innings, and then Kenley Jansen comes on in the ninth, and two strikeouts, no hits, no walks. He gets the save, and everybody goes home happy from Chavez Ravine.
Here's a stat for you. Through eight innings, two games, the Dodgers relievers have, like I said, pitched eight innings and have not given up a hit. That'll win you a lot of games in the postseason.
Kyle is going to join us in the studio. He's got a big board update for us coming up next. Could tell you about Mantality right now. The website to check out is lowtusa.com, and don't necessarily automatically write this off if you think this is just about low testosterone, which is something that most men don't want to talk about. They don't want to contemplate. They don't even want to think about it. But this is about men's health. Mantality is a men's health clinic, which means a number of things. Choose how you want to look at it. But if you're a man and you are interested in being healthier, lowtusa.com may be a website that offers you a gateway to getting healthier. They are a local men's health clinic. Their new location is open and taking appointments at 595 Ashley Court in North Liberty. That is right between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. It couldn't be more convenient. They are covered by insurance, and their physicians are board certified. You're dealing with actual physicians here, not Dr. Nick from The Simpsons, you know, the hi everybody guy. They'll treat you, they diagnose you, and if you do wind up on the low T plan, all the supplements, all of the medication, everything is shipped straight to your door. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. You don't have to go back to the office 5, 6, 7 follow-up visits, anything like that. LowTUSA.com is the website to go. Mantality. 4:23. I jumped ahead an hour. Tried to make it daylight savings time. Can't do that, can we? We'll step aside, take a quick break. Steve in Marengo, hold tight. We'll get to your phone call next.
No lizard or TV personality or bespectacled professor. No stage, no set, no facade. Insurance isn't entertainment. It's something you need to keep a bad thing from turning into a worse thing. That doesn't mean it has to be all stone-faced and serious. It can come with a kind, smart person who answers the phone or an email or even comes to your home when you need them. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The City of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Man, John Lackey is getting torched on the text line right now. Welcome back in, 4:25. Great show for you. We mentioned John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Cyclones, a 45-0 winner over Kansas in, well, let's call it less than ideal conditions. As a matter of fact, the game delayed about 40 minutes, the start of it, due to the weather on Saturday. But the Cyclones looking impressive. Trevor Ryan named the Special Teams Player of the Week in the Big 12 for his four punt return effort, including the, what was it, a 68-yard touchdown return that helped propel Iowa State to a victory. They're a six-point underdog, by the way, for those of you people who are interested in such things, going to Texas Tech this weekend. That's one of the six games that we'll pick coming up later this week on the Gym Class during the Carl Linnerney's Pick 6. We appreciate him hanging on through that quick break. Steve in Marengo wants to talk Joe Madden. Steve, what's up?
You know, last year Joe did some pretty stuff that I thought was off the wall, and it worked good for him. And, you know, everybody was all, so it was, you know, they were all game of that. You know, and all reality, the pitching ain't what's beating the Cubs. They gave up 1-8 innings last night. If you can't score runs, you ain't going to beat anybody. So it don't matter what, you know, Joe does. And, you know, if you can't score, you just don't win.
Thanks for the phone call, Steve. The only thing there is the pitching is sort of beating the Cubs because Lester went 103 pitches and couldn't even get through five innings. So it's contributing to the bullpen having to come in and carry a little bit more of the load. But this is, you take a little out of column A, you take a little out of column B, a little out of column C. Now, this is, to me, as Steve brings up, Madden doing some things last year that didn't necessarily work out all that great. This is no different than Kirk Ferentz and Fran McCaffrey and everybody else, right? And I know it's Iowa Media Day. We're going to get to some Iowa basketball talk with Chad Lystico coming up in hour number two. But when Kirk Ferentz loses, everybody goes to the salary. Everybody goes to all of the negative storylines, the tired tropes and everything. And when Iowa wins, he's a good coach. And it is sort of tiring to a point. But I think a lot of people, it's funny watching all of these baseball writers who had this idea that Joe Madden was some sort of progressive, great thinker and ahead of the curve, and he was 20, 25 years ago. I will tell you this, when he was coming up in the Angels system as a roving instructor before he joined the big league coaching staff, he's one of the first guys to use computers and statistics and things like that. He was way ahead of his time at that point. But when it comes to this mentality of, I almost said mentality, when it comes to this mentality of we had to save Davis for the ninth inning in case we caught the lead, I'm sorry, but bring him in to put the fire out. You know, if your house is on fire and there's a fireman standing there with a hose, you're not going to say, wait until the rest of the fire department gets here. Turn the hose on, right? Let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa sophomore guard Jordan Bohannon was named to the Bob Cousy Award watch list today, a 20-player list identifying the top point guards in the country. Bohannon scored 10.9 points per game last season and also became just the second freshman in at least the last 25 years to log 175 assists and hit 85 threes. The depth chart for the football team was released today, and whereas Amani Hooker was named the starting strong safety last week, Miles Taylor's back in the mix, listed as a co-starter. Former Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard took over for the 49ers yesterday after they benched Brian Hoyer, and Beathard's offense rattled off 17 points unanswered to tie it and at least threaten a comeback. He finished 19 of 36 for 245 yards with a touchdown and a pick, and head coach Kyle Shanahan officially declared Beathard the starter moving forward. The gold team won Game 3 of the Black and Gold World Series 2-0 on Friday to win that series. RBIs by Connor Nelson and Grant Judkins gave the gold team the lead before the game was called due to limited pitching. The Rough Riders lost to the Omaha Lancers in their home opener on Friday night 5-1 to move to 1-2 on the new season. They're off until this Friday when they'll host the Lincoln Stars. Tonight after the show, we'll have Monday Night Football between the Colts and Titans. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And on the main gym, we'll begin the Cyclone Call-In Show right after we get off the air. And then when that wraps up, we'll join Game 3 between the Yankees and Indians in progress. That's on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
Couple start times announced today for next weekend's games for Iowa and Iowa State. And big news for Hawkeye fans who like to play under the lights in Kinnick Stadium, but Iowa and Minnesota set for a 5:30 kickoff next Saturday, and that game will be broadcast on FS1. And Iowa State's homecoming game against TCU next Saturday gets a 2:30 kickoff, and that game is still to be determined television-wise. It's either going to be on ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2. And again, Trevor Ryan, the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week this week. Big day for the Ida Grove native. I went to college with a girl from Ida Grove. She was a nice girl. I was a big fan of Liz.
Did you realize how bad Kansas was? I know you knew they were bad, but did you realize how bad they were?
I see. I'm in a no-win position here, because if I say they were bad, then all the Iowa State fans think I'm not giving Iowa State credit for when that was an atrocious football team, just god awful. And John Walters is going to join us to talk about it next. Iowa State did what it needed to do. It beat Kansas convincingly, and we'll find out just exactly where the Cyclone team is headed, other than, of course, to Lubbock.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update's brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road. Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news. The Spurs reached agreement on a three-year, $72 million extension with LaMarcus Aldridge, reports ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. NFL, Packers QB Aaron Rodgers will have surgery on his broken collarbone. Then his status the rest of the season will be evaluated. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports former 49ers linebacker Navarro Bowman signing a one-year, $3 million deal with the Raiders. Up two games to none, Astros with a chance to put a stranglehold on the ALCS. Visit the Yankees, Game 3. Charlie Morton, CC Sabathia, being back home could help New York's struggling offense, says ESPN's Aaron Boone.
Now you get into the middle rotation spots of the Houston Astros. Look, this is a team that you can pitch to the Yankees, but they're also very dangerous because they're able to work the count, and when they get into Yankee Stadium, they can use that building to their advantage.
Game 3, 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio. University of Louisville's board of directors officially fired coach Rick Pitino nearly 3 weeks after the school acknowledged its men's basketball program is being investigated as part of a federal corruption probe.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
At Lowe's, we know that pros need to be ready. Ready to frame, ready to drill, ready to hang and install. And during Lowe's Ready to Refresh event, pro customers should get ready to save. Now for October 22nd at Lowe's, pro customers can get up to 10% off select in-stock interior and entry doors from Reliabuilt, Masonite, and Geldwin. Plus, buy three rolls of 3M Safe Release Painter's Tape and get one free. See lowesforpros.com or the Pro Desk for details. Selection varies by location, U.S. only.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job sites? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My List that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Looking for a pre-owned vehicle to help prepare you for the future? All Honda-certified pre-owned vehicles are thoroughly inspected by a Honda-trained technician and backed by an outstanding Honda Limited Warranty for up to 7 years or 100,000 miles from the original in-service date. You could say we pre-screen each one, you know, as a precaution. Visit HondaCertified.com and search for local inventory.
See your Honda dealer for limited warranty details.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
4:36, and you Cub fans are going to melt the Hertin and Stocker text line if you continue to vent about the first two games of the National League Championship Series. We may circle back around to this. It's a tight Monday, so to speak. There is a lot of stuff to get into, including Iowa Basketball Media Day. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register set to join us coming up to kick off hour number two. We will talk more Cubs-Dodgers with Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago in the third and final hour as well. But right now, as he does every week, joining us from a jubilant Ames, where the Cyclones were able to handle Kansas to the tune of 45-0 over the weekend. And he had one of the best views in Jack Trice Stadium because he was indoors and stayed high and dry. It's the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, John Walters, joining us, sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And John, you did stay dry, didn't you?
For the most part, yeah. We do crack our window in the press box just a little bit to stick a crowd mic out there, and just that little bit allowed some water in on my notes and stuff. But I can't complain because compared to all those people in the stands, I had it pretty good. So under those conditions, I think really great win for Iowa State.
And depending on how you approach your broadcast, you either really needed those notes or you didn't in a 45-0 ball game.
Yeah,
lots of fill.
Didn't look at them much, but I had to backpedal a little bit just to stay dry. So that's all part of it. Part of the hazard pay, I guess.
John, you're around this team and this coaching staff a lot. Do you feel this? Do you feel their confidence growing at this point of the season?
Yes, no question, I do, and I think that win at Oklahoma certainly gave it a shot in the arm. Not that they weren't a confident team before then, I think they were, but now I think they really understand that they probably can beat anybody if they execute and play well, and if you can win at Oklahoma, you can beat anybody, and so I do feel like they're confident, and yet at the same time trying to stay grounded and, you know, pretty aware of the fact that the game can humble you very quickly, and so not getting carried away with it. But they really showed me something last week, because that would have been the week where, you know, it would have been easy to get caught up in everything, and to come out with a business-like approach and really handle Kansas convincingly, offensively, defensively, special teams, showed me a lot. And so I think these guys are in a really good state of mind right now, and hopefully that continues.
You mentioned special teams. Trevor Ryan, a much-deserved recognition today from the Big 12 office, special teams player of the week last week. He was tremendous on Saturday.
I think he had it wrapped up by the end of the first quarter. he had a punt return for a touchdown, down a couple of punts inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line. And he played a great game on special teams, which we've kind of come to expect from him. He's been a really good special team player ever since he arrived on campus for Iowa State. He's one of the best punt returners Iowa State's ever had. And, just another great story. Again, you know, Kyle Kemp, here's your quarterback, who was a Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week the week before, is a walk-on. Trevor Ryan, who's the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week this week, who's a former walk-on. Joel Lanning is a former quarterback. He was the Defensive Player of the Week last week. So there's a lot of pretty cool stories going on. But Trevor's definitely one of them, the pride of Ida Grove. And, he's always a threat on those punt returns. But like a lot of other special teams plays, it takes 11 guys. And he got some really good blocks, and they set that wall up really well. And He was escorted into the end zone by his teammates. So good job by the whole team on that one.
John, you mentioned Kyle Kempton. As long as the Jacob Park story continues to stay where it's at, he looks like he'll be the starter for the foreseeable future. As long as he's the starter, what does this team need from him week to week consistently in order to give them the best chance to win?
You know, I think he's one of those guys that's just kind of a whatever it takes type of guy. I don't think he was disappointed at all that he didn't put up the kind of numbers that he did against Oklahoma, in that the team won and won convincingly. He did exactly what he had to do for them to win that football game. And, you know, I thought did a great job. Probably the biggest thing Kyle Kemp did against Kansas was handle two poor snaps, which you expect to get some of those on a day like that where the ball is really wet and the ground's wet. And, you know, it's hard to snap that ball consistently accurately, but there were two low ones. He handled both of them, did not turn the ball over, and Iowa State continues to go without a fumble lost, one of three teams in the country in that category. And Kyle just, you know, through two games, Iowa State has not had a turnover with him out there. So maybe he is a game manager. I don't know, but he is doing a very nice job with what he's being asked to do, and he's not trying to do too much, and he's making the throws when he needs to. But you know, going forward, it's a good question. I mean, can he continue to produce at a high level? Can he continue to make those big throws? We'll see. But I sure like what I see of him so far, and he's got a great demeanor about him that's really good. I think kind of calms the whole offense down. You know, that quarterback's kind of that in that position where they can settle down a huddle, and I think Kyle's personality fits that pretty well.
Talking Cyclones with John Walters, as we do every Monday. Admittedly, I don't get to see as much of Iowa State as I would like to, but I was there for the Iowa game, and with Iowa being off on Saturday, I did watch from the start to finish the Kansas game. And to me, this team is tackling a lot better than it was early in the season during that Iowa game. I'm not seeing things, am I?
No, I think you're exactly right. I thought Brian Baldinger, the color analyst for Fox Sportsnet, did a great job of kind of really summarizing the fact that Iowa State's been really good fundamentally, you know, and that's where their success is coming from. They're not missing open field tackles. They're not turning the ball over. They're creating some turnovers for their defense. They're just playing good, solid, smart football, and it's giving them a chance to win. And I think tackling's a big, big part of that, but you know, kind of the nature of the beast right now with the kind of defense they've been playing the last couple of weeks has been mostly that three-man front. So they're just trying to keep everything in front of them and gang tackle, and they're doing a really good job with that. So if that continues, it always gives you a chance, you know. And I think especially in the Big 12, there's a lot of guys that can make you miss tackles. To be a good tackling team can go a long, long way toward giving you a chance every week because – there's some guys out there that are going to make guys miss, and hopefully Iowa State can continue that because it's really been a positive for this team, especially I think the last few weeks.
Does that kind of game plan stay the same going into a game against a much improved Texas Tech team with a elusive running back in Justin Stockton?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's I'm glad you mentioned the running game because I do think you know, from an Iowa State perspective, if you can force Texas Tech to be one-dimensional, and they're very good at that dimension, I mean, they're fifth in the nation in passing offense, you know, that's what everybody thinks of when they think of Texas Tech. But they've complemented it pretty well with that running game, 167 yards a game. And I think that's the thing. If you can kind of take away one dimension or the other, you've got a much better chance against them. So hopefully Iowa State can slow their ground game a little bit. Ray Lima, I just can't overstate what he has meant to this program with his ability to disrupt things up front. You know, he is so good at taking on blockers and still getting penetration and forcing plays to the outside, out of the pocket. He's just really been a good run stopper, too. And I just think he's basically allowed them to play that three-man front. And I think they'd like to mostly play that three-man front probably against Texas Tech, but as Matt Campbell said in his press conference today, to be able to play the three-man front, you better be able to play the four-man front. So, you know, if Texas Tech decides they're going to try to run the football against that three-man front, you either have to be able to hold up against it with that look, or else you have to go back to your four-man front and prove that you can stop the run with that. So we'll see how it all plays out on Saturday, but I do think slowing down the Texas Tech ground game goes a long way toward helping Iowa State.
Iowa State 23rd nationally in run defense, and you bring up Ray Lima. He's sort of overshadowing Vernell Trent here. He's not getting as much credit as he probably deserves.
Well, Vernell Trent got off to a really great start to the season, but as they've gone to the three-man front, they've played him a little bit less because he's just kind of the odd man out. Lima hardly ever comes off the field, which is amazing, given he's taking on two blockers on just about every play. But they're trying some things with Vernell to get him more snaps. They're trying him some at defensive end now in that three-man front. I think you'll see more and more of him going forward. But you're right, he's had a really good senior season, and it's the start that he got off to, I think, was one of the real surprises for this Cyclone football team. And he's not playing less because he doesn't deserve to play. He's just playing less because they've switched kind of their approach to it. But he'll continue to get some opportunities. And that rush defense stat, I mean, if you go back and look at Iowa State and why they haven't had success in recent years, I think it always comes back to that. And they just have not been able to stop the run. Even go back and look at all those close games that they lost last year in their games that were decided by a touchdown or less. They allowed over 300 rushing yards per game in those games. Now, all of a sudden, they're giving up about 120 rushing yards a game. Now, that's tough to continue with who they've got coming up on the schedule, but it just gives you a chance every week. And I think that goes hand in hand with the success that Iowa State's had.
John, we've talked about Iowa State's defense being improved, but Texas Tech coming into the year, last year they were an absolute turnstile defensively. Their numbers through the midway point of their season, they're right in the middle in the Big 12. Are these two of the more improved defenses in the conference?
It seems that way. I do expect a pretty high-scoring game on Saturday regardless of that, but it's just, they have brought in a lot of new guys and some veteran guys. They really reshaped their defense by bringing in a lot of new personnel, and those guys have hit the ground running and have played well. They did surrender some points late against West Virginia. That's not an inexcusable thing to happen against Will Grier and that West Virginia offense, but I think Texas Tech is dramatically improved defensively and playing with a lot more heart than they did a year ago, and it puts them in a position to win some of these football games. They were a ranked team, going into that game at West Virginia last week. So, they've improved, I think, specifically defensively, and it's given them an opportunity. But, some of that stuff starts to play itself out over the course of a long season. Once you get into conference play, some of the numbers aren't quite as skewed. So we'll see, is Iowa State's rush defense a mirage right now? Is Texas Tech's overall defense a mirage right now? I don't think either one is, but they're going to be put to the test certainly over the next few weeks.
It's always a lot more fun to go to work when your team's winning, and it's probably the same for doing the sideline show. Who's coming up with you tonight at the Applebee's in Ames?
Yeah, we're going to have Jamie Pollard on in the first half hour, and then Matt Campbell will be along for the final hour, so looking forward to that.
All right, great stuff as always, John, and we'll be tuned in on Saturday from Lubbock. Appreciate it as always.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones. His appearances on Monday, sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. Iowa State, a 6-point underdog as it goes to Lubbock to take on the Red Raiders over the weekend. Iowa will gear up for a trip to Evanston to take on the Wildcats of Northwestern. Kirk Ferentz meets the media tomorrow in Iowa City. That game opened as Northwestern a slight underdog at home. It's now a pick'em in Las Vegas, so flip a coin. And anybody who's followed Iowa football in recent years knows that the Hawkeyes have had a tough go of it at Ryan Field when they make the trip east to the Chicago suburbs. We'll hear from Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes tomorrow in Iowa City. We'll hear from Fran McCaffrey and the men's basketball team as well a little bit more tomorrow on the show. Media day, Fran didn't talk until 2 o'clock today, and then the players were afterwards. So because of when we come on the air and to give all of that audio the treatment that it deserves, I think we're going to push most of it to tomorrow. So Iowa basketball fans, we've still got you covered, though. We're going to talk with Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register. He's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. He was at Media Day today. We'll fill you in on all the Franperbole It now has an unofficial name among members of the media, Fran McCaffrey, not necessarily to shy away from hyperbole, including saying that Jordan Bohannon reminds him a lot of Steph Curry.
I was going to say it reached an all-time high today, did it not?
Well, we may, if I can dig through the archives tomorrow with Kyle's assistance, we may sort of have a hyperbole off, if you will. We'll find some of Fran's more out there statements and try to rank them or put them in some sort of order. But I know it's his style, and I know fans enjoy it, but some fans read into that a little bit too much, and then the minute that Bohannon goes 1-for-6 or 1-for-7, it's mob time, and nobody wants to see that. Look, they got four starters coming back and just under 80% of their scoring. This is going to be a team that wins more than 19 games this year, in my opinion, but let's play some games first.
Who did he compare Luka Garza to? Was it Kevin McHale?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It was Kevin McHale.
So the Hawkeyes are going to be taking the court this winter with Kevin McHale, Steph Curry, and we'll wait and see until some of the other. I do like the fact.
Good luck, Golden State.
I do like the fact that Cordell Pemsel has dropped a little bit of weight, just because, as Scott Unesh was discussing, I don't know whether they said this on the air, but Scott was in the studio during the shift change, and he said, look, with Cordell Pemsel's injury history, especially with his knees, you take 20 pounds off and it's good for everybody. And if there's anybody that should know that, it's me. I got a lot more than 20 pounds I need to lose. 4:52. We're going to take a quick timeout, and when we return to the court, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Monday Night Football, we got a lot to get to in the final 2+ hours of the show. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion.
Oh, we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. Oh, we will fight with might for Iowa State, with the will to do or die. Rah, 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 loyal sons forever true. And we will fight the battle through. And when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back in, 4:53. Jesse Rogers, ESPN Chicago, joining us in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is up next. Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes meeting. I want Fran to say that Iowa has a Spud Webb. We get a Spud Webb or a Detlef Schrempf, maybe a Jack Sikma.
Wait, don't they have a Keith Van Horn? No, that was Jared Uthoff. Van Horn is gone.
Oh, how do you?
But they're getting one in his son Patrick.
How do you recover from losing Keith Van Horn?
Get another one in 2 years.
I kid, of course.
Of course. I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Is what it is.
Yes, it is.
But until that point, until we get to the tipping point, it's fun. 4:54, let's kick it over to Kyle here. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Iowa sophomore Jordan Bohannon was named to the Bob Cousy Award watch list today, a 20-player list identifying the top point guards in the country. Bohannon scored 10.9 points per game last season and also became just the second freshman in the last 25 years to log 175 assists and 85 threes. The depth chart for the football team was released today, and whereas Imani Hooker was named the starting strong safety last week, Miles Taylor's back in the mix, listed as a co-starter. Tristan Wirfs is the starting right tackle, and Ryan Gersondi will be the punter. The Big Ten announced Iowa's game hosting Minnesota on October 28th will kick off at 5:30 and broadcast on FS1. And Iowa State also decided on a start time for its homecoming game against TCU next week. That'll start at 2:30 and broadcast on an ESPN channel. Iowa State senior Trevor Ryan was also named the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week today. He had a 68-yard punt return for a touchdown in the 45-0 win over Kansas. The Rough Riders lost to the Omaha Lancers in their home opener on Friday night, 5-1, to move to 1-2 on the new season. They're off until this Friday when they'll host the Lincoln Stars. Tonight after the show, we'll have Monday Night Football between the Colts and Titans. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And on the main gym, we'll begin with the Cyclone call-in show right after we get off the air. And when that wraps up, we'll join Game 3 between the Yankees and Indians in progress. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
I don't want to spend too much time here talking about our fantasy football team because I know nobody enjoys that, but we won again this week.
Yes.
Thanks to
every other team, I'm in a huge losing streak, but at least we got that.
And it's all on your back. I want you to know this because
I doubt it.
No, it really is because you are the driving force behind drafting Kirk Cousins.
Oh, that's right. We're in a half point per completion league, aren't we?
And Cousins had another doozy of a game over the weekend.
40 completions for 190 yards. It's great in our league.
Came against C.J. Beathard and the 49ers, much to the dismay of Hawkeye fans. But it's look, we talked going into the weekend on Friday when we were at the coach's corner that everybody was on high alert that a former Iowa quarterback could see some time over the weekend, but everybody thought it was going to be Jake Rudock with the Lions because Matthew Stafford was kind of dinged up going into that game. And instead, it's Kyle Shanahan making the switch from Brian Hoyer to C.J. Beathard. He's going to be the new starter in San Francisco. And Beathard's next game against America's team. They've got the Cowboys coming up next week.
Oh, I thought I got crossed up sports there. I thought you were talking about the Astros.
Yeah, I am fine with the Astros being adopted as America's team. And there are lots of people out there who hate the Yankees, and I'm being reminded more and more daily that there are a lot of people out there who hate the Cubs. Hate is such a strong word. My grandmother taught me that lesson when I was a little kid. Hate is a very strong word, but there's people out there that hate the Yankees and hate the Cubs. Those people may as well adopt the Astros as America's team. Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register joins us to talk Hawkeye basketball next.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger. And